Hi, good evening, everybody. It's Parshas Shoftim. This week I wanted to speak about the halachas of V'hoya Machanecha Kadosh. That pasuk, V'hoya Machanecha Kadosh, that your camp or where you dwell should be holy, means, and that's where we learn the Isser to make a bracha, to bench, to daven, to say Shema, daven Shemoneh Esrei, when there's something around you which gives off a bad smell, a dirty diaper, what's referred to as tzaya. So from this pasuk, we learn the avera of doing that and the need to be careful that we don't have any of those things around us when we daven. So I want to discuss those halachas. Before we begin talking about those halachas, I just wanted to clarify one thing. If you're in the middle of davening, let's say you're in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, and a baby starts crying, or one of your children has some sort of a problem and begins to bother you incessantly, the halacha is that you're allowed to stop in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei and take care of the problem and then return to davening. So, in other words, you can stop, walk over to the baby, walk out of your place, walk over to the baby, take him or her up, soothe the baby, talk to the baby if necessary, talk to your child. And then, after you finished, you return to where you were, your place, in other words, where you were standing. If you're in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, you return to your place, and you finish davening. Now, the reason why this is mutter, the reason why it's permitted, is because, the way it works with me is that if there's a child screaming, there's absolutely no way that I can have kavanah. And if the child is constantly saying, mommy, 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 can't concentrate on anything. So therefore, the halacha is that when something is disturbing your kavana, it's mutter to do whatever is necessary to allow you to daven with kavana. And after the problem is dealt with, you return to your place in order to finish Shemoneh Esrei. So as just as a hakdama, it's important to know that, and it's relevant, obviously, as we're going to be speaking, when it comes to changing a diaper and stuff like that. So if you want to daven or bench and you have a baby nearby in the vicinity or a child that's not trained, you aren't obligated to check the baby to make sure that they don't have a dirty diaper. As long as you don't smell anything and you have no reason to think that they have a dirty diaper, you aren't obligated to check. You're allowed to assume that they are clean. And even if you discover after you finish davening that in truth the baby did have a dirty diaper and you think that that dirty diaper was there all along, you don't need to daven again, and your davening is valid because you're, as far as you're concerned, your machanecha was kaddish, and the Torah didn't obligate you to think any differently. However, if you are in the middle of davening or saying krishma or benching, or you want to bench, you want to say a bracha, and you realize that your child does have a dirty diaper, so here are the rules. Number one, if the baby is less than 3 months old, it's not a problem at all. You don't have to stop. If the baby is older than 3 months, then it sort of depends. If the baby has begun to eat some semi-solid foods, like, for example, oatmeal or rice cereal, at that point, once the baby eats those foods and he eats it at a regular pace, which means, he's able to finish a bowl in a normal amount of time, so then his diaper does become a problem. Now, regardless of the age of the baby, if the diaper is just a wet diaper, it's not a dirty diaper, it's not a problem even if you're holding the baby, but that's only if you don't smell anything. So as long as there's no smell, the fact alone that the diaper is wet is not a problem even if you're holding the baby. However, if you could smell the diaper, whether it's dirty or whether it's wet, but if you can smell the diaper, you can't daven and you can't bench. And if you do bench or daven while smelling a dirty diaper, you'll have to repeat davening or benching or krishma, in ayetze. Now, let's say the baby is sitting in their crib or sitting on the other side of the room. And when you go near the baby, you can smell the diaper, but you can distance yourself enough that you won't be able to smell. Are you allowed to bench or daven in that case? So the halacha is that it's not enough to just distance yourself to the point where you won't smell it. You need to go even further than that. You have to go dalet amis, which is around 6 or 8 feet, somewhere between 6 and 8 feet, away from the place where you stop smelling. So if let's say you stop smelling the diaper around 3 or 4 feet away from the baby, you need to go another 6 feet, so a total of 9 to 10 feet away from the baby in order to be able to daven or to make a bracha. Basically, if the baby's on one side of the room, you'll want to find yourself on the other side of the room if the diaper is a smelly diaper. Now, sometimes that's not an option. Like, you're in a car, you're on a bus, on a plane, and you just a limit how far away you can get from that baby, and you're not able to necessarily change them right then. So, typically, really, you should not make a bracha, or you should not daven at that point. But let's say you need to eat something, and you're very hungry, or your kids are hungry, or whatever. So, there is some place can hold that as that you could be makel as long as you can't smell it. So, in other words, if the baby is far enough away from you that you can't smell it, even though you're not going another 6 feet away, as long as where you are, you can't smell it, there being that you're stuck, you can make a bracha. But otherwise, if you're as in any other situation where you're not stuck, you should get that far away. There's another kula that if the smell is being totally dispersed by a fan or an ear freshener, you can also daven. So let's say you're in the car and you open the windows, so now you the smell is totally being blown away. So there also you are allowed to daven even though the baby has a dirty diaper because the smell is totally gone. So that would be another way, another situation where you could be makel. But again, this is the rules. If in a typical situation, if the baby has a dirty diaper, it's not enough just to get to a place where you don't smell the diaper. You have to get an additional 6 to 8 feet away from that spot. Besides, as far as it is that you can't smell. So if it takes you 3 feet away to not smell, you need to go another 6 feet, total of 9 feet, in order to be able to make a bracha. If you're totally stuck and that's not an option, so then you can be makel as long as you can't. You're far enough away that you can't smell it. And likewise, you can artificially disperse the smell through opening a window, air freshener, etc. If it really, really gets rid of the smell, that's also you can be makel and make a bracha. And if the diaper for some reason doesn't smell, although you know the baby is dirty, you are allowed to daven a bench because as long as there's no smell, being that it's covered and it's under in the diaper, as long as there's no smell, you are allowed to daven a bench. Now, if there's a patty in the room, you're in the middle of training your child, and there's a patty, even if it's clean, you can't bench and daven while it's in your sight. It needs to be covered. Now, some patties come like with an insert, which you remove, and they also have a cover, so that is sufficient. If it has an insert, which is separate from the rest of the patty, and then you cover it, you know, you put down the lid of the patty to cover that insert, that's enough. But if the patty is one big piece, then the patty itself is a problem. And you can't make a bracha unless you cover the whole patty. If a dirty diaper has been removed from the baby and tied up in a plastic bag to a point where you can't smell it anymore, so it's the same like the same thing like we said before, that as long as it's covered, if you can't smell it, you're allowed to daven next to it. And lastly, a garbage pail is not a problem of reach ra, as long as there's, you know, not any bad smell coming out of it, but the fact alone that it's a garbage pail, that's not a problem. You can daven around or make a bracha near a garbage pail. So, in summary, what we said was that if you're not obligated to check the baby to see that they don't have a dirty diaper, that you're not obligated to do. If the baby does have a dirty diaper, so if the baby's less than 3 months old, it's not a problem. If the baby is older than 3 months, it depends if they started eating solid, semi-solid foods. If the diaper is just wet, as long as there's no bad smell, not a problem. If you can smell the diaper, you aren't allowed to daven or bench until you move 6 to 8 feet from the place, from the last place that you could smell the diaper. And if you're stuck, then you can be makel as long as you can't smell it. If you're in a place where you can't smell it, or you have some artificial way of dispersing the smell. And if you wrapped up the diaper and now you can't smell it, that also is good enough. Okay, so in the very last mitzvah in this week's parsha is the mitzvah of Egla Arufa. The mitzvah of Egla Arufa is an interesting mitzvah. It's talking about when, unfortunately, a dead body is found near a city and he was clearly murdered, and no one knows who the murderer was. So the Torah commands that the sages, the Bezdin, the Kanim of the city have to bring a young cow, an egla, and slaughter it on the place where the body was found. And then that whole area that you do this procedure is never can never ever be used for planting or for farming. And the purpose of this mitzvah is to be a temporary atonement for the people of the city who are held responsible that this crime took place in their around their city until the murderer is found and then justice can be served. Now, when they bring this cow, the Beis Din, the sages of the city, need to say the following proclamation. Yedeinu lo shafchu adam hazeh. Our hands did not spill this blood. So Rashi immediately comments, he's quoting a Gemara, he said, do you think that the Beis Din, the Ziknei Beis Din, these Talmidei Chachamim were the ones that killed this fellow? So the Gemara says, that's not what they mean to say. What they mean to say is that we didn't encounter this individual in our city and send him away without Lavoya, without escorting him. Because if we would have sent him away without escorting him, it would be as if we killed him. Then it would be Yadeinu Shafchat Adam Hazeh. It would be as if we killed him. That's how serious the mitzvah of Levaya, of escorting someone, is. The Rambam, in the end of Hilchos Eva, when he talks about all sorts of mitzvahs of Gemilas Chesed that you do with your guf, with your body, rather than with your money, he says as follows. It's fascinating, Rambam. He says like this. He says, there's a mitzvah to visit the sick, b'kacholim. There's a mitzvah to do nicham avelim, to comfort people who are bereaved. There's a mitzvah to do halvayis ameis, to escort a dead body. There's a mitzvah to marry off a kala, chnasas kala. There's a mitzvah to escort guests, lavoya. Then he says there's a mitzvah to do everything necessary to bury dead people. There's a mitzvah to do misameach chasim v'kala. So he basically goes through all the different ways that a person can do chesed with his body. Then he says, in the following halacha, the reward, the schar, for escorting guests, for doing levaya, is more than all the rest. He says it's a chayk that Avraham Avinu established. It's another, the practice that Avraham Avinu established, and the path of chesed that he began. Avraham Avinu would feed travelers, he would give them to drink, and then he would escort them. He continues to say, hachnasas archim is greater than greeting the Shechina, and escorting guests is greater than that. And then finally he says, quoting this Gemara, whoever doesn't escort guests is as if he's killing them. In the next halacha, the Rambam goes on to say that Beis Din would have people set up in the city to escort people out of the city. And if they're lazy and they don't set that up, it's considered as if they killed them. Again, coming from this pasuk. And then the Rambam says that even if you just escort the guest 4 amos, 6 to 8 feet, one receives tremendous rewards, schar gadol. So think about this. This is a fascinating thing. Rambam says, more than marrying off a kala who doesn't have any money and setting her up for life, more than visiting someone who's terminally ill, more than actually having guests and feeding them and giving them a place to sleep, is the mitzvah of escorting them as they leave. Now, why would that be? Why is that such a important and why is that mitzvah greater than all the other mitzvahs? And in addition, this particular mitzvah of chesed is different than other mitzvahs of chesed because it has a flip side also. Other mitzvahs of chesed, it's a chesed, you do it, it's a chesed, it's a mitzvah to do it. This one, if you don't do it, it's as if you're killing the person. What other mitzvah of chesed has such a healthy culpability? It doesn't give you, you have two choices. You either do it and get a tremendous char, or you don't do it and it's as if you kill them. And furthermore, there's a famous story with the Vilna Gaon. This is a scary story, but it's a very well-known story, that there was a wealthy man in the community of the Vilna Gaon who was exemplary in his mitzvah of Achnasas Archim. And he would always have guests. One day, a fire broke out in his house, and it burnt down the house with all his possessions. So the Vilna Gaon was asked, why didn't the mitzvah of Achnasas Archim protect him? So the Vilna Gaon says that we find in Chazal that Avraham Avinu was nota eshel. He planted an eshel, which simply it sounds like it's a tree. But Chazal explained that really it's an acronym. It's Aleph, Shin, Lamed. The Aleph stands for Achila, he fed them. Shin stands for Shtia, he gave them to drink. And Lamed is Lavoya, he escorted them. And this man, even though he did Achila and Shtia, he gave them to eat and he gave them to drink, he didn't do the mitzvah in its entirety. He didn't do it b'shleimus, and he didn't do Lavoya. Therefore, he was left only with Aleph Shin, Esh, and that's fire. He said the mitzvah wouldn't protect him if it wasn't done b'shleimus, if it was done only in a partially. So why is it such an important mitzvah? So the Maral in a number of places explains this, and he says this is the importance of the mitzvah levaya. He says that through escorting a person, you're emphasizing his salam aleichem. And he explains that when a person possesses a salam aleichem, he's protected from all wild animals, like the pasuk says, the animals will be scared of you. And on a more spiritual level, he's protected from all dangerous elements in the spiritual world. He says that more than that, through the level of importance you've imparted to him, the Shekhinah is brought down, and the Shekhinah itself escorts him from there, from where you stop. He also explains that through escorting the person, you're showing that he's part of your tzibur, he's part of your crew, your olam. And he isn't just a lonely person wandering off alone, rather he's part of a greater whole. And that gives him the most respect and protection. The underlying idea here is that although a person can invite a guest and he can give him to eat and to drink, if he escorts him out, he's giving him something even greater. He's giving him respect. He's showing that he's an important person who deserves to be escorted. He's building the dignity of the person, and he's emphasizing thereby what every person truly possesses, a talma like him. He's showing that he really enjoyed having this person in his presence and would prefer he didn't leave, so he's escorting him the farthest he can go, another couple of steps. The greatest chesed a person can do is to build a person's honor and dignity. And the greatest disservice is to humiliate a person and ignore him. I just saw a beautiful story from a grandson of Avari Levine. His name is Benji Levine. And he writes that he was studying in Yeshiva in Yerushalayim, and his parents had moved back to Eretz Yisrael after living in the States for years. And his father was a rabbi of a city called Pardes Chana. So one Friday morning, he got on a bus in Yerushalayim, Benji Levine, and someone said, "Hey, Benji, did you see the Yediot newspaper? There's a wonderful story about your grandfather, his grandfather, Rav Aryeh Levine, known as the Tzaddik Yerushalayim." So he bought a copy of the newspaper, and he read it. So he said he saw a very interesting story. He said there were stories of how he would always escort people in the streets of Yerushalayim. I saw, this is in a different place, he doesn't mention this, I saw that Rav Aryeh Levine one time was so sick he couldn't escort the person out, and he didn't let him leave until he said clearly he's moichel him for not escorting him. That's how important it was to him to escort people out. So later on at the Shabbos meal, Benji asked his parents, you know, where did your father, Rav Aryeh Levine, why was the mitzvah of escorting people so important to him? So he said Rav Aryeh Levine was a great Talmud Chacham, and he definitely understood the importance of the mitzvah, but there's a story attached to it as well. Rav Aryeh Levine was known as the father of the prisoners because all the young men or women who got locked up by the British when they were trying to free Palestine, make it into Eretz Yisrael, they were put into jail, and he used to visit them in jail. So one Friday morning, Rav Aryeh visited a prison outside Yerushalayim, and there was a man sitting in jail there, and he heard Rav Aryeh Levine was visiting, and he asked to speak to him. So the British had a lot of respect for Rav Aryeh, and they granted this prisoner's request. The man said to Rav Aryeh, "My wife and I, we both lost our families in the Holocaust. We met in Cyprus and on our way to Eretz Yisrael. We married, we had a child, and we live in Yerushalayim. My friends are all on the ground, and they're afraid to tell my wife where I am and what's going on with me because they're scared they'll be caught by the British. So can you, Rebbe, please visit my wife and just tell her you saw me and I'm okay?" So Rav Aryeh took the address, and he promised to give over the message if he could. So he went back to Yerushalayim, and he went to find this address to find the prisoner's wife. It was getting close to Shabbos. He couldn't find the address. People were in their homes preparing for Shabbos. So as he walked by a small street, he saw a woman through the window preparing for Shabbos. So he asked her, does she know where the street is that he's looking for? So she said, "Wait a second." So she took off her apron, she came outside, and she said, "Follow me." She led him through the streets, and she found a small house, and she said, "This is it." So Rav Aryeh said, "Why did you have to come all this way? You must be in a hurry before Shabbos. You could have just given me directions." So she said, "Well, I thought about doing that, but I remember this is my special mitzvah." So I said, "Well, what do you mean?" So she said, "My father was a very pious man, a tzaddik, and before he passed away, he called me and my siblings to his bedside and said, what do people take with them when they leave this world? Money, honor, position, status? No. The only thing they take with them is the mitzvahs that they perform during their lifetime. So my father said to each one of us, of all the mitzvahs you perform, choose one mitzvah and make it your special one. And whenever the opportunity comes along to perform this mitzvah, however difficult it is, do it in its entirety." So my father helped me choose my mitzvah of escorting a person on their way. So when you approached me today, I said, "Oh, this is my special mitzvah, and I'm going to perform it in its entirety." So Mary thanked the young woman. He visited the prisoner's wife. He brought her regards from her husband. And when he came home, just before left dinner, before candlelighting, he wrote in his little notebook, "Today I learned from a young woman the importance of fulfilling this mitzvah, and from today on, I'm always going to be careful to perform this mitzvah." So Benji said, when he heard this story, he said, "Wow, what a beautiful mitzvah." So I decided, Benji writes, that I'm going to make this mitzvah my special mitzvah as well. So Matzah Shabbos, he went back to Yerushalayim. Monday night, he's walking in the street, and knows an old man across the road, and the guy is pacing back and forth, and it seems as if he lost something. So he goes over to him and says, "Excuse me, I couldn't help noticing you walking back and forth. Did you lose something?" So the man said, "Well, actually, I'm a little confused here in the dark. I'm looking for Partzim Street." So I said to myself, "Hashem, 2 days ago I promised to do this mitzvah of escorting another person. Are you testing me already?" So I told the man, "Come, let me perform the mitzvah of escorting you." So I brought him to the street, to the house. I said, "Here it is, shalom." So the man said, "Just a minute. Why did you stop and ask me if I'm looking for something? Why did you escort me? Young people, they don't do these things these days." So he said, Benji answered, "Well, I probably wouldn't have done this, but my grandfather used to do this." "Really?" he said. "Who was your grandfather?" So Benji said, "Ah, you wouldn't know." He said, "Really, what was his name?" So he said, "Levine." "Which Levine?" "Ari Levine." So the man asked him, "The famous tzaddik of Ari Levine?" So he answered, "Yes." So the man took hold of the lapels of Benji's jacket and started to cry. He saw the tears roll down his cheeks, and Benji was very uncomfortable. So he waited. Finally, he looked up, and he said, "Do you know who I am?" So Benji said, "No, I never met you." So he said, "My name is Menachem Roy. I'm a reporter for the Yediot. Last week, I wrote a number of articles and stories about how your grandfather would escort people on the streets of Yerushalayim. And here, a few days later, I lose my way, and who escorts me? None other than Rav Aryeh Levine's own grandson." So I looked at the old man, he says, Benji writes, and he says, "You know why? Because Rav Aryeh's grandson read your stories and learned how important and beautiful it is to escort another person on his or her way." Beautiful story. You should all have a good night and a good Shabbos. Kol tov.